friends. So for the next 5 weeks, we are doing Broadway in the Bible. And so we will have a short trailer, and so you don't have to have seen the Broadway show, by the way. So our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. Hear now these words. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times I tell you, but 77 times. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, for the next 5 weeks, we will be looking at Broadway and the Bible, using shows that came to Norfolk either earlier this year in 2023 or coming in 2024. These stories, when paired with the Bible, have concepts to show us how God wants us to live in this world. Jesus was known for using modern examples of the day to teach his disciples, and God has lessons for us in these modern lessons as well. So this week, if you hadn't noticed, we are doing Hamilton, a more recent Broadway show that premiered in 2015. It follows the story of Alexander Hamilton, an orphan who was part of the American Revolution and whose face is still on our $10 bill. In some ways, his story is the American dream. A man born into poverty, orphaned at a young age, who made a significant impact on our country and left behind a legacy on our very own banking system. Now, Hamilton leads a very far from perfect life. He has an affair. He is known for his public disagreements with other founding fathers. His son dies in a duel. And if you didn't know, his story also ends with a duel. Now, Hamilton knows he's in the midst of a movement. He knows independence is an option, but will not be won without a fight. And he's very concerned about the financial situation of this brand new country. He wants to establish something new, something no other country has ever tried before, and he is very passionate about his ideas. One of the taglines of the Broadway show is, "I'm not throwing away my shot." He wants to be also in the room where it happens. He believes and knows his ideas will indeed work, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to have people listen to him. Now, Hamilton's zealousness is inspiring. He's not known for his diplomatic ways. He speaks his mind, and he doesn't care who he offends. We see Jesus' disciples and Paul with similar zealousness at times. At times, their desire to make sure as many people in the world know about Jesus also means they don't always mince words. They know that they are making the religious authorities mad, and sometimes they don't care. It is so important that they get their message across. They know that they're in the middle of a world-changing movement that we are blessed to be a part of as well. God's love through Jesus Christ to offer humanity eternal life. So what can we learn from Hamilton? What is God trying to teach us through this Broadway show? I think we can all agree Hamilton does not lead a perfect life. He makes many, many mistakes. His zealousness and passion leads to quite a few enemies. Now, duels are unfortunately a theme in Hamilton. Hamilton, towards the beginning, aids his friend John Laurens in the first half of the Broadway show, as Laurens challenges another man, Charles Lee, to a duel because this man has said bad things about General Washington, who would go on to become our first president. Lee is injured in the duel, and Hamilton is temporarily suspended, by General Washington, who's upset that they had this duel at all. Now, Alexander Hamilton's son, Philip, challenges another man to a duel, George Acre, as Acre insults Philip's father, Alexander. Philip is unfortunately fatally wounded in the duel, and the play shows the immense heartbreak that Alexander and his wife, Eliza, go through. Eliza, Hamilton's wife, even forgives Alexander for his very public affair, and they reconcile. There's a song that says they are going through the unimaginable of losing a child. And then towards the very end of the Broadway show, Alexander Hamilton has been arguing with Aaron Burr ever since the beginning of the play, since even before the American Revolution. As Aaron Burr runs for presidency in 1800, Alexander Hamilton decides to endorse Thomas Jefferson, someone who he usually disagrees with, as president. And Burr takes it personally. He is upset and feels disrespected and challenges Hamilton eventually to a duel in a letter. Can you imagine, by the way, that they sent this in letters? What a day, right? So again, Burr and Hamilton have been disagreeing for over 30 years. And Hamilton agrees to this duel. Hamilton fires his weapon into the air, throwing away his shot, but Burr does not. Burr shoots Hamilton in the same spot where Hamilton's son, Philip, was shot and died. Alexander Hamilton does not survive the shooting, and Aaron Burr's legacy becomes known as the man who shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel. So friends, what is God trying to tell us here? I think forgiveness would have gone a long way in Hamilton's life, would it not? Forgiveness is a theme that Jesus preaches and teaches on again and again. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus tells the crowd on the Mount, "I love you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And then Scripture tells us in the same sermon, "If you forgive them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you your trespasses." Hamilton and Burr and Hamilton's son Philip could have altered each of their lives if they had followed the lessons of Jesus. We are called to love one another, even love and pray for our enemies and those who persecute you and others. We are called to forgive one another our trespasses, not duel over them. Matthew 18, the scripture we heard, is another collection of Jesus' teachings that comes after Jesus is transfigured on the Mount. Jesus and the disciples are in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, and he is teaching to the crowd. And Jesus gives us a beautiful way to resolve conflict. I don't know if you all heard, but there was no duel in this part, by the way. The first is if someone has wronged you, you go to that person in private. Again, you don't write it on social media. You don't tell everybody else. You go directly to the person, and you try to resolve it. Well, if that doesn't work, then you bring another trusted person who is not known to gossip, but is going to keep it in confidence, and you bring that person to verify everything that is said so that every word may be affirmed by witnesses. And if that doesn't work, then and only then do you take it before the whole church. Do you ask that person to repent, to hear the wrongs, and to come back in? And if even then they do not accept it and do not repent, only then do you treat the person like a tax collector or a Gentile, which means you're still supposed to love them, by the way. They're just no longer a part of your group, but you still love them and pray for them. And then right after this, we see Peter ask, well, how many times do we have to do this? Is 7 enough? Please tell me 7 is enough. I imagine Philip thinking. But Jesus says, that, oh no, not 7, but 77 times. Now, 7 in the Bible is known as a number of infinity, so it's not like we're supposed to keep track, by the way, of every time, but Jesus says as many times as it takes. Now, Alexander Hamilton struggles with forgiveness. We can see that. He sees duel as a way to resolve a disagreement, and he struggles to love his enemies like Aaron Burr. He could have forgiven him through those letters. He could have asked for forgiveness from Burr, as I'm sure he had done things wrong. But again, he chooses to go a different way. In the Broadway show, there's a song about the 10 commandments of a duel, which differ, by the way, from Jesus' teachings and the Ten Commandments that we get from God in the Old Testament. Jesus knows that there is immense power in forgiveness. You see, forgiveness frees us. It breaks the power of sin and guilt and shame. Shame makes us feel like we cannot be accepted or loved because of what we have done wrong. It has this power over us that makes us feel like we are less than and that we cannot tell anyone else. Forgiveness breaks the power of shame and it frees us to truly live. Now, shame and blame can feel like a huge weight on your shoulders. It makes it hard to stand up straight. It feels like there's this heaviness all around us, and it fills every free thought. It causes our shoulders to slouch, and it's hard to hold our head high when the power of shame takes over. But Jesus offers us a way out of shame. And friends, we are not the only ones to ever make a mistake. The Bible, if you weren't aware, is full of stories of people making mistakes and asking for forgiveness and being reinitiated into the family once again. We are not the sum of our mistakes. We are called to confess our mistakes, to repent, to turn back to God, and repair the damage that has been done. And there is something so powerful about naming our sins. When we confess what we have done wrong, when we tell God and name what we have done wrong, the power of that sin has been broken. No longer do we feel that weight because we know that we are in the process of being forgiven. You see, shame keeps us from saying what we have done wrong. But when we tell God, when we confess and name it, that power that that sin has over us is gone. So friends, let's never throw away our shot at forgiveness. The truth is, we have so many opportunities to seek forgiveness. God just doesn't give us one token that we can use once, but God forgives us more than 77 times as we have that continual grace from God. Forgiveness leads to new life, not just after death, but now. That power of shame and blame and guilt can be broken right now. Forgiveness breaks those chains that bound us. It allows us to sleep again at night as we feel that peace that comes from forgiveness and new life. Forgiveness is available to all of us. And again, not just once, not just seven times, but an infinite number of times. Another key line in the Broadway show is, "Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?" It's the final song in Hamilton. The gospel tells us that we are part of God's story, and we are Christ's ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God here on earth. So friends, it is our job to live and to tell God's story. It's not our story, it's God's story. And friends, we live in a community, in a world that desperately needs to hear God's good news every single day. Our legacy is tied to God. It isn't about promoting our story, but about promoting God's story, a powerful story of love, grace, and restoration to new life. We have God's powerful story of forgiveness to share with the world, a world that feels broken and beaten down by our shame and our guilt and by the punishment of our sin. Friends, we are to tell God's story. This is a key part of our tasks as followers of Jesus Christ. We are alive because of Christ, and out of gratitude for this amazing gift that, again, we've done nothing to earn, but a free gift given to us, we are to tell God's story of grace and forgiveness. We have been freed. Amen. The penalty for sin is death, but God has offered us a way out of sin, out of death, through Jesus Christ. The power of sin has indeed been broken. But it takes us naming our sin, repenting, turning back to God, and repairing the wrong that has been done. Friends, forgiveness is literally life-changing. Maybe forgiveness, like for you, begins with forgiving yourself. That's what I realized. I thought I was really good at forgiving others until I realized I was not good at forgiving myself. And it was a cheap forgiveness that I was giving others. And so until I could forgive myself for mistakes I have made and continue to make, I was not really forgiving others. Maybe that's where forgiveness begins for you. Or maybe it begins with forgiving the person who has wronged you the most and working through therapy to figure out how you can forgive and be freed and truly be freed. Maybe it begins with forgiving your parents or your partner or your best friend or something that has cut you so deep that it takes up all of your mental space. Forgiveness is about freedom. So friends, let's not throw away our shot at forgiveness so we can live as freed people who tell God's story. So friends, during Fresh Food Wednesday, I was telling our volunteers, if they did not have a church home, to come. We were going to have so much fun this Sunday and for the next several weeks. And I told them we were doing Hamilton. And so one of the women was like, "Are you going to rap?" I was like, "Well, I am not good at rapping. However, I have been using ChatGPT, which is an artificial intelligence. So I gave it my entire sermon and asked it to come up with a rap. So bear with me, friends. I'm going to try my best. So here we go. In the life of Hamilton, a tale we unfold, a man of great passion, his story is told. He faced duels and conflicts with honor and strife, but the power of forgiveness can transform one's life. Like Jesus taught us on the mountain so high, to love our enemies, to reach for the sky, to forgive those who wrong us again and again, for in forgiveness, new life can begin. Shame and guilt, they weigh us down, but forgiveness breaks those chains we found. Confess our mistakes, let shame be released. In God's boundless grace, we find perfect peace. So let's not throw away our shot at grace, for forgiveness abounds in this holy place. It's not just seven times, it's infinite, you see. God's forgiveness sets us all free. Amen. And thank you all for having fun with us this week. Next week, we will be doing Come From Away, which if you've not listened to any of those songs, I encourage you to go on YouTube. It is based on 9/11 the planes that were redirected. So U.S. airspace was closed after the towers were hit. And so Gander, Newfoundland, which is a very small town in Canada, became the place where all these planes went. So it's based on a true story. By the way, I have to pause it a lot because it is very moving, and have tissues if you listen to some of the songs because it's very moving. So we hope that you will join us next week. But as we come to our prayer time, in just a moment, we're going to pray together our breakthrough prayer. Then I will pray a prayer for us, and we'll conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. So today's breakthrough, I just want to lift up all who helped and infuse their creativity to make today happen. I especially want to lift up Tiffany Thompson, who did the majority of this. She has so many gifts and talents, and we thank her so much for sharing those with us, but also Andy and Kathy and so many others who helped to make us feel like we are part of Broadway, as we know that God uses our creativity and excitement to bless others and to learn more about God. So now join with me, please, on our breakthrough prayer. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.